Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by Copper Compression. If you've been doing extra sewing or housework, your hands might need some extra support. Visit coppercompression.com and use code SEWINGOUTLOUD to receive 30% off your first order.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we're going to talk about couching. And we don't mean when you sit on the couch for a long time because you're stuck at home all day.
And you think you're a potato.
Yes, it's not couch potatoing. This is couching.
This could be social couching.
Social couching. There you go.
Yes.
S-E-W. Okay, so this is social couching, which I think could have like a much, you know, different meaning maybe. And I can't believe we haven't done an episode on this yet, but this is one of those times
when we used to do this so much.
But we were kind of like, oh, we were going to talk about this, and we realized we did it in 2017 or something like that.
You know what I'm thinking of right now as we talk about is that crazy quilt I have in my living room.
No, ZD is to be couching queen for sure.
Yeah. I don't know queen. And it's actually like on my couch. But
a couch crazy quilt on
my couch. I lay it over the back of my couch all the time.
No, it's a super, this is.
I have every single kind of trim, bead, yes. Cording, ribbon. I should have gone and gotten it, but it's downstairs. Maybe I can remember. But anyway.
Well, we have a box here that says crochet and couching, and yes. It's one of those big, like long flat tubs. Maybe it could have gone under like a bed or something.
Right.
And it's full of yarn. And so.
And that's not the only thing I couch with.
No,
right.
No. And so it's a little, this technique of embellishing, there's so many parts to it, so many parts that go together. So we were really trying to outline how best to explain it over a podcast. And we've decided to sort of define couching for you first. Okay.
In the simplest of manners.
Yes, sort of in the most basic way. So when you couch, you are using your sewing machine and just a basic needle thread. We'll talk about different thread options for you. But, you know, you are using your sewing machine and sewing thread in your needle and sewing thread in your bobbin. And then you are using that to apply.
Right.
Normally a long length of ribbon, cording, trim, yarn, beads. Did I say sequins already? I can't remember.
I don't know. You may have. We talk about sequins so much. I don't know.
Right. But most of the time, it's like something that has come
right.
off a roll.
So when we say beads, it's like a string of beads.
A string of
or
beads.
Or beads you've strung or something right. like that. So it is a string or a length of something. And like I said, I'm afraid to go here because you sort of drive it on,
yeah.
right? Right, you're paving yeah. with it.
You're laying track.
Yes, yes, okay. yes.
All
yes.
right. So then, what are we going to talk about next? What's our next?
Well,
you want to talk about the materials? Is that what we were going to talk about? What? Oh, we just did.
We just defined
talked about.
It, and we said what we were going to put on. And Mallory, well, I'll reiterate: your sewing machine is basically just threaded like you were going to sew.
Right.
And now you may make choices of different threads later because your thread is going to be laying over and on top of whatever you're paving.
That's right.
Right. Whatever you're laying down.
If you are laying down a string of beads
right.
and you somehow wanted it to look like these had been put on by hand
right.
or you were trying to like outline something and you
or
wanna
add a color. Maybe maybe the beads are clear or white or something and you need it to something more pinky or, you know, you needed some color in there.
Okay, so you can choose to have your thread contrast mm-hmm. with whatever you're laying down, blend in to whatever mm-hmm. you're laying down, either one of those. And then, ZD, you like to use that Monopoly thread.
Right. Which is spelt like Monopoly.
Yes.
I call it monopoly thread, monopoly.
It is a clear polyester thread.
What was the one that we used to use before that one came out? It was the, it was more stretchy.
Yeah, it was like a nylon.
It was nylon. That's okay, exactly so what it was. Monopoly, I like better.
Right.
I feel like it's not as finicky on people's with people's machines.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as stretchy.
Yes.
People don't seem to have it. And I only use it in my needle.
Right.
Okay, I use regular thread in my bobbin.
Okay.
Okay.
So the thread that you choose for your sewing machine, it can be construction thread. Okay. Mm-hmm. It can be a machine embroidery thread. Mm-hmm. This all depends on, you know,
top stitch thread.
It could be top stitch mm-hmm. thread. That would give you a more bold look.
Two embroidery threads gives you two colors or
right.
whatever. I mean, this
or
this
a thicker
is,
look.
This
yeah.
is endless, guys.
Oh, yeah.
This is endless. It can be a metallic thread.
Yeah.
You know, this is endless. And if you could, we have to take a bunch of pictures of that quilt.
Yeah, there
because
are a
there's
lot,
like every sample in the
no,
world.
No, you could have so many options.
Right.
And so when you, you know, if you buy that string of beads, you could find them at the craft store and everything.
Right.
You know, if they are black or something, you could use black thread or you could use like a gold thread
right.
and you could get a very different look either way. But our point is that, like, we're not saying that you're sewing with sequin thread coming through your needle or something
right.
like that. We
so
didn't
the
want
thing
anybody
that you're laying down
yeah.
is being laid down and then sewn on.
Yes. Yes.
So it's being applied to the top.
And then the stitches, how to set up your machine for stitching over the trim, the ribbon, the beads, the sequins, whatever.
Right.
That is oftentimes a zigzag stitch. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And you are, of course, like ZD tells you all the time, you're going to test.
Right.
To make sure that this stitch looks good over your thing. Now, you are going to, just so you know, visualize this. If you're sewing over something rather thick, picture like a rather large cord or something like that,
right.
there's going to be more top thread getting laid down than bobbin thread.
Right.
Because there's nothing thick on the bottom. And you, we don't seem to have to adjust our tensions when doing
you
this.
You know, I don't think I've ever adjusted a tension. Ever.
Yeah.
And that's sewing on many sewing machines over... Oh, my God, I'm so old.
You're so
like
old.
Like over 50 years. Yeah, I remember when I used to, when I started this, I didn't know there was a difference. Like, to me, thread was thread.
Right.
You know, and I remember sewing over, like, it was like a tatting cord that I found that was my aunt's. Do you know what I mean? It, and I don't know even where the idea, like, came from. I think maybe I saw it on something.
Right.
Like, I'm thinking of a collar on a dress I saw one time. And I was like, my machine will make that zigzag.
Yeah.
You know, and this was very simple. It was like a cord and, you know, like a white cord, and it was zigzagged over with red thread or
right.
something like that, you know.
Fun.
And I did it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I did it. And then I was like, well, I could use two cords, mm-hmm. you know. And then, and I will tell you, I did not have the help of all of these feet
oh, man.
That we have now.
So we're not quite there yet, but when we get there.
Right. One thing I did have, and this is funny, guys. My sewing machine had all these cams in it. It was very sophisticated for the time. This was like in the 60s. And I was embellishing things with sewing thread.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they had like
decorative
anything.
Thread.
Well, they did, but it was like silk.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Right.
I don't know that there were rayon or polyester embroidery threads for my machine.
So let's talk a little bit about the zigzag. When you choose a zigzag on your sewing machine, it's going to, you know, come up as the default length and width, or you're going to look in your owner's manual and it's going to tell you the default length and width.
Right.
And most of the time when you couch, you're going to change these settings.
Right.
It's generally going to be longer than the recommended length. Okay. I can't remember what the length recommended length is on like the default, you know, length on the baby lock right now.
On the zigzag?
Yeah.
I think it's like 1 or 1.5. It's,
yeah.
It's very
well,
short.
Well, and it seems short, but it's because, so if it's 1.5, there's really 3 millimeters between the two stitches on the right side and the two
right,
stitches on the left,
right,
you know.
Right.
But you may even go up to
right.
like a 3.
Oh, easily.
Okay,
yeah.
easily.
I think most of the time I have gone up.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, you go up.
Now, if I'm doing a lot of curly cues.
Mm-hmm.
I may be down for, I may not go because I'm trying to make that curve.
Get that detailed
right,
work in there.
Right.
So you, a lot of times you're lengthening it, and the longer stitch length also helps you not to build up thread over a possibly bulky piece of cording or sequins
right.
or something. Like, it just benefits you in that way. And then your width.
And some of it, too, is going to be the look you want.
Right, the look
so
you want.
So am I got red thread over something white, and I want a lot of red to show?
Yeah.
Or do I just want it to look spaced out? So it's a look and a technique and, you know, considering your bulk and all that stuff.
Yeah,
so,
all that comes
again,
together.
So, again, test, test, test.
And then your width is going to be dependent on what you're laying down to.
Absolutely.
So most of the time, I mean, once again, I mean, you do whatever you want. But
right.
most of the time, you're just going to kind of want to go right outside those outer bounds
right.
of the beads, the sequins, the ribbon.
So you're laying down a stitch to the left and then a stitch to the right and then a stitch to the left.
So you'll test this a little bit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you know why you also need to test this is because if you're putting beads under your foot,
right.
you need to make sure that your needle is not going to hit.
Well, and that's another
beads.
Thing. Especially if there's something like that. Or even sequins sometimes, depending on how they're strung or how the trim is made, you want to hand walk through. Now, if I'm just going on a flat ribbon, I probably don't have to hand walk. I might go slow.
Well, yeah, but, you want to see what
right,
it looks like.
But, you know, anything that might break my needle.
Yes.
Right, or I think might break my needle. You know, you're going to hand walk. And you're going to come up with these settings you want.
Yes. And so do be mindful of that. If you, this is where I think you can get kind of a funny pulling look,
mm-hmm.
is if you go too wide. So if you go mm-hmm. too wide over those beads and...
Well, or too wide over anything.
Yeah, too wide over anything really that's, you know, not...
Well, and even like the ribbon or the cording or whatever... You want it to be tight enough that it's not sliding around.
That's right.
So even if you're not sewing into the ribbon
uh-huh.
or the, you know, you want it to be snug enough that the ribbon's not sliding out or coming, you know, or the cording or whatever you're using. Now I'm wanting to really couch.
I know,
this is
I'm
turning
like,
me
oh,
on.
Are you getting excited? All right.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, this is turning me
we
on.
We didn't know like, we'd get so excited.
I remember like, you know. Sitting down and just trying to think up combos. And
I told you that I'm going to just do free motion couching for the next Self-Sewn Wardrobe
right.
Live. I'm just going to do it.
Now, you say free motion. Free motion?
Yeah.
There's a new word.
Free motion.
Free motion.
Is this free mouching?
Free mouching. Anyway.
Free mouching couching.
Somebody will come up with a word for us and let us know. So when Mallory says free motion, we're going to talk about feet. And there are many feet. Mallory actually even has laid out, you can do what I would call meandering, and you can do free motion.
You know what I've heard that called? Free flowing sewing.
Well, I always call it meandering.
But
that's right too. That's okay.
I feel like it gives a little bit more of an idea of what's going on.
Well, I used to meander though.
Yeah, but you can meander at any speed. But, like, free-flowing to me gives you the idea that you... So what ZD's talking about is with meandering or free-flowing sewing...
Right.
You got your stitch...
And you're saying sewing, too. Yes.
Yes.
Your feed dogs are up.
Yeah, your feed dogs are up. You know, you're sewing.
Right. But I might be sewing in a circle and a loop and a this. It's sort of like if I was free-motion quilting, sort of... Like that, and it doesn't have to be a particular design. You know, it's like whatever I'm feeling.
Yeah, whatever you want to do.
Or if I'm going around a design that's on the fabric or something like that. But I do have my feed dogs up,
mm-hmm.
okay? And, you know, I'm going around those corners with the feed dogs up, and I'm using that stitch. But there is also a true free motion.
Yeah, so what? But you didn't kind of... Talk about your meandering, okay?
What did I miss?
So I feel like when you couch and your zigzag is a little longer,
mm-hmm.
it lets you, since there's more space between those stitches, it lets your fabric move under your foot up more freely than when you're just doing like your normal 2.5 millimeter straight stitch.
Yeah. Well, see, but also if I'm making a curve, I don't want those stitches too far apart either.
No, but yeah. You're curving without lifting your presser foot
it's
is
true.
What you're doing.
Yes, I am.
Okay. You're curving. You are moving your fabric. You're
right.
Not stopping every stitch
mm-mm.
to
nope.
lift your presser foot. Okay. So that's what ZD's talking
right.
about with like meandering and free flowing
right.
Sewing like that. You've got things set up to where you're still using your feed dogs. You can't go backwards all of a sudden because they're dropped, but it allows
well,
you to.
You can't go backwards.
You can if you put
sewing.
The reverse in.
No, because you'll back up over your. No.
Well, right. No,
that's,
you don't
no,
want to do
can,
that.
You can't. I mean, you don't because you'll bunch up your cording.
Yes.
Yes.
So you can't
right.
do that. Now, when you have your feed dogs dropped, though, I could do. And you have your free motion couching foot on, I can go kind of like backwards and back and forth
yes, and
if I wanted to.
And you're also using a straight stitch.
Yes, and
so
I'm using
that,
a straight stitch.
So that, then using the straight stitch allows you to sort of back up and over your stitching more. Now
mm-hmm.
with the meandering, you can cross over your stitching, like
right.
make loops. With the free motion foot also, you're almost always using a really soft cord.
Yes. So,
you know, you're not going to use your free motion foot with your feed dogs down to put on sequins, probably.
It's a little different. It's like a different animal.
Right.
You know,
right.
For sure. You can't do like, you have to be able to sew through your couching medium. Okay.
Exactly.
You have to be able to sew through
exactly.
it.
Exactly. You are sewing right, almost dead center through
right.
it is the objective.
Yes.
Yes.
So we're going to take a short break and we're going to come back and talk about like one of the most important things. And we saved it for later because it is so in depth. And that is the different types of feet
right.
that you can have for couching. Okay. So we'll take a quick break and be right back.
Let's take a moment to thank our latest sponsor, Copper Compression, for supporting the podcast.
Copper Compression offers a full range of copper-infused wellness products like braces, gloves, and sleeves that provide targeted relief and the support you need through your active recovery. They have the highest copper content on the market, guaranteed.
Copper-infused fabric is wondrous material. It has antimicrobial and anti-odor properties and boosts circulation. The unique combination of compression and copper gives you the strength to heal.
We know how important our hands are. I've been knitting and gardening more while staying at home, which is fun, but my hands were killing me. I started using their half-finger gloves while working on my latest project, and my hands have felt so much better.
Copper Compression was recently in the news. They donated their entire stock of 18,000 professionally manufactured masks to New York and New Jersey hospitals.
And of course, we have a special offer for our listeners. Go to coppercompression.com/sewingoutloud30, that's coppercompression.com/sewingoutloud30, or use the promo code Sewing Out Loud, all one word, at checkout for a very generous 30% off on your first order. Thanks Copper Compression.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Okay, there are so many feet nowadays.
Feet are made for walking.
Yeah, and these feet, no. No,
no, they are.
These feet are made for couching.
Right, and that's
yes,
just
what
they
do. All right, there we go.
Some of these days, these feet are gonna couch
right
over you.
Man, we start a little low there. All right,
I feel low today.
Okay,
my little raspy.
All right, so what feet can do for you in couching land? I felt like I had a good like platitude for this. They can provide
couching land
space.
Mm-hmm.
And
good.
Guidance
okay, well.
For your couching medium. Okay?
Okay.
Space and guidance. So when we talk about ribbon, okay,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's something that could almost be done with like your normal zigzag trouser foot, right?
So right up front, and this is what I did because I didn't know there were feet like this when I started doing this in my infanthood of sewing.
Sewing in
my fetal gestation age of sewing. I just used my regular foot. I had a zigzag foot. So
yeah,
there was room
foot.
Underneath. Okay. You know, a flat foot's not good. It's nice to have, you know, what is called your zigzag foot. If you turn it over, you know that there is room carved out.
Right.
You know, it's not a flat foot, right? Mm-hmm. There's a channel there
for
our buildup to go through.
Right, right.
Yes.
It could even be used for, like, decorative stitching or satin stitching. So there's that with the ribbon. But then you start to get into, you know, anything three-dimensional, and you need a foot that probably is going to have, you know, maybe it's going to have some kind of open toe or it has a big channel underneath it.
Which I like to call a tunnel.
A tunnel. You know, I don't like the word tunnel because it makes me think of tunneling.
Tunneling.
Yeah. So
we need to talk about tunneling about this too. Go ahead.
Right. So, yeah, we'll talk about that. But there are feet, and this is so, everybody, this is going to depend on your brand of machine and what they call these freaking feet. Okay.
Well, and there are generic,
yes,
like packages out there that you know you can buy like multiple feet or
but
whatever.
But let's talk about the different names. You're gonna have something you could use feet that are called a piping foot, a cording foot. You may find something called like a jumbo cording foot too. You'll find things like mini piping feet. The cording feet, a braiding foot, an adjustable piping foot. Now, you could also use pin tuck feet, invisible zipper feet
foot
for this.
Really works, yeah.
But just so you know, I actually have not seen a foot called the couching foot, except for the free motion couching foot. It doesn't include the word couching.
So, and you left out one thing.
What'd I say?
You said the
The piping?
The piping foot, it can also be called a beating foot.
Okay, yeah.
Because it has a hump.
You're right. No,
so,
you're right.
So it has a tunnel, like, behind the needle, and then in front of it, it sort of humps over, you know, gives room for those beads.
So what these...
But sometimes you'll see, like, all three names on that foot.
Yeah, it'll be, like, beating, piping, blah, 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 foot. Okay, so what these feet with these channels underneath them do that's, like, really important and, like, why I want to stress that this might be a good investment for you, is it will guide, say, that string of beads.
Yes.
Into the exact same place the entire...
Every single time.
Under the needle.
Consistency. It's wonderful.
So under the needle, the beads are always in the same place. Mm-hmm. So when you set that width, okay, then you should technically be good to go. And so that is an example with the beads where it really protects you. Because if you sew through a plastic bead with your needle, it's going to break and could come up and hit you in the eye.
The bead will break. The needle will break.
Not good for your machine.
You'll mar up your throat plate. You'll cry.
Now, I'm looking at a cording foot right now that has 7 holes in it.
I call this the Swiss cheese foot.
Well, that's a good, or the cheese grater foot, or something.
Doesn't it look? No, it makes me think of cheese.
Swiss cheese, you're right.
I mean, it could be. It looks like it could grate cheese. It looks like it's Swiss. So it has the slot where you know your needle goes, and in front of that, it has a series of tiny little holes.
Yeah.
Okay.
How many does yours have? 5.
This is 5. I think there's a 3, a 5, and a 7 that I know of.
Okay. I might not have gotten them all out because there were so many. Here's the 3. Okay.
So, Mallory, we have 10 feet in front of us.
Yes.
Not counting the free motion foot.
And I didn't get out all the feet that could be used
for this.
And
we probably didn't get them all out. And there may be more that, you know, some brand has that we're not quite sure of or something. But I guess what we really need to, I want to get across is this is not a bad investment. You'll be using it for more than one thing.
Okay, so I want to
especially that beading couching.
You know what they call it? The pearl and piping foot.
Pearl and piping
foot. That's what
foot
they called
it.
Yeah. Okay, so these cording feet with all these little holes and everything, they act as guides as well. Okay?
Yes.
Now, what can fit through here is like some pearl cotton or some thin yarn.
Yeah.
So it's not something
floss.
Right. It's not something where if you sewed over it, you would break your needle and poke your eye out. Okay.
Right.
But what it is doing is if you wanted to put a color scheme through here of like, you know, white, gray, and black or red, white, and blue or something like that, it's going to keep those three rows of floss, of cording, of whatever in line, and you're going to get this nice color, you know, the blend or a thick line or whatever. And you could even do, in this case, this, if you put four of these, if you thread four of these holes.
Four of the seven.
Yeah, four of the seven on the seven.
You have a different look than if you do all of them.
Okay, but what I was going to say is if you thread four of these through, it almost takes up the whole width of the stitching area.
Yes.
And this is where I think it would be great to bring in your discussion about decorative stitches.
Right.
Because we were talking about a zigzag. However, the zigzag needed to cover this width of like cords and everything.
Right.
I would almost go for a triple zigzag.
Right.
And you could do, go ahead.
Right. So you can do, say, a rainbow pattern with your cording, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you could actually use a decorative stitch. Now, it needs to move forward a lot.
Yes.
You can't have
forward
one that,
only.
You
really.
Can't have one that goes back and forth, blah, blah, blah. So you need to, you know, again, test, test, test.
Yep.
But some sort of decorative stitch. I mean, I've done like little mountains, you know, over like rainbow stripes, which is really cute, like on a baby thing or something.
Yeah,
know.
So it's like a scallop.
Yeah.
Sort of.
There's scallop,
like a scallop.
You
know,
you even have those peaks.
Yeah.
Like the things that are peaks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's go on someone's name.
Well, yeah, I'd be careful with the names because sometimes they move backwards.
Well, that's true.
But test it out, see what happens.
Test it. It can be, So. You can use decorative stitches to couch.
Yes.
But they need to be forward in movement.
And especially on some of the flatter things. I mean, stitching
ribbon,
over ribbon.
Right.
You know.
Now I have done, you know, things like that look like an arrowhead or something like over a thicker type yarn or something. You know,
you've
Now
see
the,
what happens.
Right. And the other thing is, I mean, not through these little Swiss cheese holes, but some of those other ones. You can use, like, those hairy yarns.
Yeah.
You know? And actually, sometimes, like, while you're sewing, it will, you know, slender them out a little bit.
Yeah. I wanna...
But then when you're finished, you sort of fluff it back up, and then you had, like, this, you know, hairiness going on.
I want to talk about how I would, like, if I were to use, like, taxonomy to describe these feet. There are some feet that allow the couching medium to just have direct access to the needle.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And then some of these feet, like the Swiss cheese one, and this is an adjustable braiding foot that I'm holding here, it creates a hole before the needle where the couching medium goes under part of the presser foot before meeting the needle. So that is where if I were using eyelash yarn or something a little more 3D, maybe I would want it a little more smoothed out before it goes toward my needle.
Right.
And it could get, like, you know, hung up or something like that. So the piping foot, well, that one would cover the medium a little bit before. The pin tuck foot would not. The braiding foot does.
Right.
And so just keep that in mind as you test.
The one thing about the pin tuck foot is you could go to the side on it. But, I mean... Again, test. And, you know, this is one of those things when I tell you to keep a library of samples. So, you know, write that stitch number. You know, after you get something like you're happy with, write the stitch number down. Write your settings down. Take a piece of whatever, you know, that yarn or whatever and, you know, sew it onto a little card or put it in a pocket of a, you know, however you keep your samples, right? And a picture of the foot or the name of the foot or, you know, whatever, so that you know, oh, this is how I did this, and you don't have to go through all those trials and tribulations again.
Absolutely. I was going to say something else about, I think, sewing on
beads. I do remember one time I needed, like, a decorative cording on something.
Yeah. something specific, yes, like a certain and style.
I wanted a specific color, and I couldn't find the color. And I wanted like the satin covered cord. You know what,
yeah,
I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And so I can't remember what it was, but I was like, okay, I'm going to couch that sucker on, and I'm going to use embroidery threads, and I'm going to impart the color I want.
Yeah.
And it really turned out better than, like, what I thought in the first place.
Okay, and then this is something that I would have done when I was beginning sewing.
Oh, Mallory did some weird stuff.
So,
I just let her rip, and she did a good job.
I just want to say, if you have one of those Swiss cheese feet where there's just all these holes on the foot, right, or there's, like, little floss guides, right, or whatever, or it's something you're going to kind of thread the couching medium through your foot first. And then put the foot on the,
yes,
machine.
Yes.
Don't put this seven hole cording foot on your machine and then try and thread cotton through it. I would do that. I'm not making fun of you.
These little holes are not, I mean, they're like a big eyed needle. Yeah. They're not big.
So don't try. I mean, it's different it's different when you're just like, okay, I'm going to pop some cording on this thing and then sew over it or something. But if you're going to thread something through, thread it beforehand. You have to do that with the free motion foot. It's got like a hole, you know, that you thread through. So I just want to say that that's something I would have done.
So, yeah. And so what Mallory, you know, there are all these feet that have room for seven or five or three cords or whatever. And so think about that too. You can use the two outer ones or only the center one or the two left ones or whatever, or, you know, one color down the middle, and then all the rest are a different color. So don't think, oh, I have to put all purple cords through this seven purple cords or whatever. That's not what you have to do.
Okay, we've got stabilizer and tunneling written down.
Right.
Why don't you get started talking about that?
Well, you don't want a tunnel. So you want your fabric to stay nice and flat under whatever you're applying to it, right? So I'm applying this cord and all of this thread also, and or decorative stitch or bead or, you know. So I'm hanging a bunch of stuff on this fabric, right? And I'm using these stitches. You need stabilizer.
You might need like a couple stabilizers. And this isn't appropriate for everything either.
Well, no.
You can get too heavy on something.
You can't take, like, you know, a very fine rayon and think you're going to put like a thick
chain
yarn
on it or
something.
Now,
maybe if you're doing an art project, but if you want to wear this, you know, these things, you know, you have to think about the weight and the drape and the whatever,
you know,
and what's going on.
I mean, I've had a little epiphany here. I feel like I've known this before. Couching epiphany. You say that you've not had to change the tension, you know, on your machines. And I just feel like you've had such a lot of experience with different fabrics that I feel like, you know, okay, this is an inappropriate time for couching. Or I need more stabilizer under here.
And I think that's
like,
what...
you know, you just have those instincts before the project gets going.
The last thing I ever do is change the tension, everybody. Like, if something's tunneling, stabilizer.
Yeah.
Okay, or a longer stitch length or something. And, you know, we see this on our page all the time, right?
Yeah.
When somebody's asking for advice and everybody's like, change the tension. No.
There's probably something else.
It's probably you need stabilizer. Or you need more, like Mallory said, you need more stabilizer.
I mean, it depends on what you're doing.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, or you might just need another needle, honestly.
Because you would do these crazy quilts, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're machine crazy quilts, and you'd be using weirdo costume
fabrics and stuff. Yes.
But
actually, that one is like all costume fabric.
Yeah, so it's like satin.
So it's satins, and it's voils over another piece of satin, and brocades and all this stuff. It's
sewing,
not quilting cotton.
Yeah, you were sewing them down onto like a lightweight canvas kind
of. I was.
Yeah, so then when ZD goes to apply and couch on beads and soutache and everything like that, she actually has quite a stable base to go on to begin with.
That's right.
You know, so I'm just saying.
The quilt is very heavy.
It is. It's a heavy quilt.
You know the weighted blanket idea?
Yeah.
I came up with it a long time ago.
I was actually thinking about that because I was like, man, all these people want these weighted blankets. Like, okay. But then I realized that the throw that I have on my couch
is very heavy.
It's that home deck fabric.
We make throws.
Well, that's a good podcast.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about it before.
I think we have too.
But I don't know if we've given in-depth instructions. So now's a great time. I want to talk about starting and finishing.
Oh, okay, sure.
Okay. So you have a lot of options with this. Couching can be used to do things like you could trace out a name and follow the name, or you're just doing, you know, weird fun paths to have a good time, or you are recreating some kind of regalia or something like that. You can use it for so many
things. Couching was very common, like in the 40s, on women's, like, suits.
Yeah.
Up around the neckline.
Right.
And soutache was a very common thing for people. And a lot of times it was curves or swirls or loops or, you know, something like that. So someone probably drew that on first.
And then, yeah.
And then went over.
Traced
right.
it. Drove that. Yeah. Drove yeah. that stuff on. So what you can do is you can start sort of like off of your where your pattern piece is going to be or
where,
something
where
like
you know
that.
Your seam is going to be.
Yeah, or something like that. So you could start off. And what we would do is, if possible, kind of stitch through the medium a little bit to anchor it or leave a long tail, okay? And then if you can, go off your pattern piece a little bit.
Right.
And couching can change the size of a pattern piece or a pillow. Like, say you want a 16 by 16 pillow. Well, first of all, cut yourself a, you
oh,
know.
I want to couch a pillow
You
now.
Want to do a pillow? Okay.
Yeah.
First of all, cut yourself a 19 by 19, you
always
know, pillow.
Always make it bigger.
And always make it bigger.
It's like, well, in this case, it's like
too.
You're making your own fabric.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the opposite of this would be if I did want it around like a neckline.
Yeah.
Right? I might want to put my shoulder seams in.
Okay.
Because
yeah.
I may want to embellish right over those shoulder seams.
Very true. But right. I do want to say you can, like, if you need to stop in the middle of a visible area of your
right.
pillow, your dress, your whatever.
Oh, I've got a great pillow idea. Go on.
Okay.
Keep going. It's just coming
what,
to
what
me.
I would do here.
Sketch it out right now while we're talking.
Is I would, you know, make my design, and you're probably using your zigzag, and I would stop, and I would anchor my thread by either using your anchoring stitch on your sewing machine or doing a straight stitch and making the length zero or as
right.
low as you can get it. Do a few stitches in place. And then trim, and then you should be able to trim the threads to the back,
right.
you know. And you should be able to then take a tapestry needle and pull your couching medium back through your fabric, maybe. Of course, if this is like a string of beads, that's not something that like frays
right.
Or something like that. But keep that in mind with, you know, kind of plan a little bit how you're going to start and stop. And then I want to talk about the direction of those sequins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
the direction, it's a direction of anything, actually.
Well,
not just, but sequins is the one that'll get
you
every time.
It's a really good one. Yeah, talk about that. Tell me about that.
Sequins are sewn on and usually lapped over each other.
Yeah, like
correct.
If you get a roll of sequins.
Right.
You know,
I mean, think of like fish scales, I guess.
Fish scales, yes.
So you don't want to be going against the lap, right?
Yeah. You want to be like, it needs to easily go under your
right.
foot. It needs to not be like the edges of the sequins
right,
are popping
flip it,
against
pop,
your
popping
foot.
Up. And there are some trims, you really, if you have a trim that's woven in a certain way or something, check that out too, because it may sort of have the same deal.
You
want to make sure it's going with the flow, you know, that it's sliding under your foot and not working against your foot.
I think I've had to unwind a thing of sequins before.
I have unwound trim before. I can
because
yes.
it was going the quote wrong
That's
way.
That's right. No,
to go
it's
under
true.
A presser foot.
Well, here's the deal.
You know,
you and I, when we like, we'll work with sequins. We have a whole big roll. A lot of people go to the store and actually buy like 3 yards.
Yeah, if you just buy the little 3 yard roll, you're fine because you just wind it onto like something
yeah,
else, and you're
but
good.
We have like
no, but
you know, we have a 100 yard roll or something. We might have to pull it off and you know decide where to cut it.
I
but,
have
yeah.
sent them through the wrong way before. It
yes.
didn't last very long.
Yes.
I was like, oh, I see. And then changed right. it. But yeah, the sequin thing is the most, it is the most evident, like you can definitely see how that raw edge of the sequin versus the edge right. that's covered
the
by the other sequin.
The flipped up edge, right.
Yeah, the flipped up edge can get in your way. What do you, would you
well,
write down?
I wanted to talk about, shrinkage or not,
yeah.
or bleeding. So you want to pre-wash these things.
Okay.
Have I done it every time? No. Have I gotten in trouble? Yes. That's why I can tell you this.
Have I been screwed over?
Why do I know this? Why do I know this? It wasn't that person sitting on the couch that told me this. It was the person that did it wrong. That
right.
was me. So especially certain things like reds. So if I'm putting a red trim on white fabric, I need to. Now, you don't have to launder it if you don't want to put it through the laundry. What I would probably do is soak this in warm water with vinegar.
Yeah.
Okay. I might wash it with Synthrapol, which catches the free dye, right?
Right.
Red is so unstable, okay? Or anything that you might think has red in it, like purple.
Yeah.
Purple can be unstable too. So any dye can be unstable. I want to wash that out. And I will literally like run it under the faucet and rinse and rinse and rinse and rinse. And then I might put it in the dryer.
Right.
Okay. Put it in a like a lingerie bag and throw it in your dryer. Because if you're going to wash and dry that garment, you don't want the separate, degrees of shrinkage.
Yes.
Talk about tunneling. You can have some really ugly show up.
You want to pre-shrink your stuff.
And you may have even done this on like ready to wear. And you're like, all I did was launder this. And now this is all scrunched up over here. And, it's because they didn't do that.
Yeah. It's because they're.
They
materials
don't have to do that for you. They just have to make it pretty to hang in the store and
you'll
buy it.
They just have to make it look good on the hanger.
That's right. That's all they have to do. So think about your pre-washing.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So couching is a great way, though, for, if you don't have an embroidery machine to do things. Also, I would sometimes have people come to me and want an embroidery machine to do
one
something. Like really big.
Oh, yes.
That really, in a home sewing environment, needed to be done by couching on, some cord. Like certain
like
types of
textiles. Like have someone come in and say they want to make a banner for their child's marching band.
Yeah.
And they're going to use their embroidery machine. Good luck.
Right.
Because the letters need to be 2 feet high, right?
Right. Right.
So then we go to applique.
Couching, et cetera.
And one thing that is really nice to do is if you have an applique letter, couching around it is really nice.
No.
Yeah. You can use that
so
as
fun.
An outline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, let's just cover that free motion couching foot real quick before
Will you do that?
I will. Okay, so this used to be exclusive to another brand, and then Babylot got it.
That's
they got
right.
a free motion couching foot. And so what it looks like is, if you've ever seen an Echo quilting free motion foot, it looks,
so it
like,
looks
a,
like a little disc.
Who's doing the free motion couching? No. Yes, it
a
looks like
concave
a
concave disc.
It looks like a saucer, a
right.
clear saucer, clear plastic saucer. And
a
why,
big contact lens.
Yeah. Why the Echo quilting is good for that is because it has quarter inch lines on it. And so you can go from any angle and you've got a circle with these, quarter inch and a half inch, diameters so that you could technically do Echo quilting with it. But then this free motion couching foot has a little hole and thread guide where you can thread yarn or something through. It does have to be a bit thick because when you go backwards,
it has to be exactly the right gauge.
You need to test
yes.
it. Okay. It's not like an equal opportunity coucher.
And again, it's kind of soft.
Right.
It can't be anything that won't bend or
now,
curl easily.
You can check on your free motion couching foot. But
don't you want to couch really bad
yeah,
now?
I do. Some of them do have where you can have a slight zigzag because they have a bit of an
yes,
opening.
Yes.
However, if you go sideways, your zigzag is a straight stitch.
Right.
Okay. In free motion land, so it doesn't matter.
So what Mallory's telling you is this, threads down through the saucer.
Right.
Comes to the hole or the slot where the needle comes through, and it's absolutely stabbing, that cording supposedly, right. ideally,
in
that's
the center.
Ideally, that's a good word for this, right down the center of that courting.
Okay, and then one more thing we haven't talked about that will help you in this is whatever your couching medium is, you need to put it somewhere or have it, you know, somewhere where it can flow freely.
So you need to figure out how you're going to feed this.
Yeah. So is it going to be in a coffee cup? It could even be like down on the floor.
I usually have it in my lap.
In your lap.
So I'll have like a saucer or a bowl
what
in my lap.
What if you have seven things yep. of pearl cotton, you yep. know, because you've threaded them through your Swiss cheese foot. Okay. Then you need to, you know, have these things somewhere where they can flow freely, where they're not going to break, because that would be really sad as you go a-couching.
And generally, it's something like a little bowl or a little container, because you don't want it rolling away or you know, traveling away from you while you're trying to work on your machine.
Now, sometimes a thread lift can be helpful for this. Especially with the free motion mm-hmm. couching foot, because of the way that the thread guide right. works. But a thread lift could be helpful. Now, this couching medium goes sort of more, you know, in front of your machine
right.
Than you how you normally use a thread lift. So that's important to keep in mind. But you're going to have some kind of bowls or mugs or something.
Cups.
Or maybe you just have something in your lap, but make sure you've got enough, like, sequins rolled off that right.
And that is one thing when you're doing it is... You have to be very prudent about, you know, do you have enough material that's rolling off
well,
in a free way?
I would even call yeah. it vigilant.
Vigilant
okay, so
is
there's
a good
more,
word. Better there, word.
Yeah,
better
there's
word.
More moving parts now.
Yes.
So we're always telling you,
right.
okay, make sure there's nothing in the way of your thread right. on your machine. Make sure there's nothing bogging down right. your project.
Right.
And so if you've got your big old crazy quilt, right, Mom?
Right.
And then you've got your couching stuff.
Right.
And then you've got other things that you've couched over.
Right.
You know, there's a lot going on. So there's a lot of moving pieces, a lot of couching pieces.
I have made my own guide out of a section of a straw before, too.
Oh, my.
Like, set it up on my machine, cut the straw through it, and put it through that, you know, and tape that onto
Whoa.
My machine so that it's a new guide.
I love that.
Yeah, it's
I love
a new
it.
Guide. And you can
know,
put it,
sell...
like, anywhere you need
okay.
it. You can have more than one of those.
They sell those metal straws now, too.
Oh, yeah.
So it's, like, really easy to get a more...
Well, but
like
I usually
stable to,
I
you want it to
say,
be shorter.
I usually cut it in as about 2 inches long.
Yeah,
or
but
something.
I'm picturing
yeah.
like
that long metal straw
taping,
right there,
like
yeah.
a metal straw.
Yeah.
It might be because then it would be yeah. Commensurate with the
yeah.
thread lift.
I've used other tubing.
Oh, and I put it upside down so that the little angles down there. Oh man, I'm taping a metal straw to our sewing machine, guys.
I mean, I've also used other types of tubing, and I don't even know where I got it. Do you know
yeah,
what I mean? Like,
right.
like
Just anything a thread would fit
you
through.
Know, you know the tubing that's in your pump jar?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's
yep.
skinnier than a straw.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nice for some things,
like
too.
Like in a hand
yeah.
soap jar.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's a good idea. All right. Well, I think that kind of, I think we did all right.
Maybe. Hope you get, all I know is Mallory and I just sold ourselves on couching.
Yeah, we're just really
we're
excited.
We're ready to go here.
Go couch.
I have a new camper and I need some throw
oh,
pillows.
You know,
and I'm just thinking about how I can pick the colors I want and
you know
the textures
what we
I want.
I just want to.
What'd you do?
You know what we didn't kind of talk about? I just want to say, you know, you can like. Twist and braid and combine.
I thought we talked about that.
I think we did it heads up. This
okay.
is the second recording
yeah,
of this podcast. We
yeah.
kind of messed it up the first time.
We actually, that's rare. I bet that's about the third or fourth time we've
it happens
we've started
sometimes.
Over. We had to start over because Mallory's mind was going in one direction and mine was not
and
going in the
yes,
same.
Yes. So we
So I was,
couching,
obviously I was going in the wrong direction.
Yeah. And couching is so... It can go in so many directions.
That's right.
Yeah.
It can meander.
So you could have like two cords going and you could twist
right.
them, you could braid them, you could
right.
do it ahead of time, you know,
right.
but you can, I just want,
so you
I just
can,
want people to know that.
But yes, you can yeah. twist cording as you're going.
Right.
You can twist a pearl cotton around a piece of yarn as you go along.
You
There's
can
all
also,
kinds of stuff.
You can also like leaving aside all of those feet with channels under them where they are
right.
helping you out in order to keep the, you know, thread in place. You can, like, loop your thread,
right.
okay,
yes.
and stitch over it
yes.
to kind of make, like, a fringe that's on there. I don't
right.
know if that's couching. Maybe that's blurring the
No, I've done that. I've like stopped and gathered a
gathered it up
and
or
there's
something.
There's a little wad of thread right. There's a picture. You can take a picture of my quilt. It's on there.
I'm going to take some pictures.
I am so excited. I just forgot.
I got to get out of here to give ZD some room.
I just forgot
for
how much fun I used to have like driving that thread right down, you know, the highway on my whatever.
All right, everybody. Well, thanks so much for listening. We hope this inspires you to get a little couching done. We want to see your experiments over in the Self Sewn Wardrobe group. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.